I'm Jill Dittmeyer, and this is Curious Mix. Listen in as we meet the people and explore the places and programs celebrating the arts and culture in our communities. Keep your ears open for these sounds and the stories behind them. The American Pianist Awards takes place every 2 years in Indianapolis as a competition to discover the best up-and-coming young jazz and classical pianists. Over the course of a year, five finalists spend time in Indianapolis performing solo and ensemble programs, as well as working with high school music programs. Winners receive a cash prize and 2 years of career advancement, making it one of the music world's most desired honors. One of the 2019 jazz finalists is Keelan Dimmick. The 27-year-old lives in Miami, Florida, but was born and raised in a small farm community in Iowa that is also home to one of the world's largest training centers for transcendental meditation. I wanted to learn more about the impact meditation has on his music and career, so I spent the afternoon with him while he mentored jazz students at Lawrence Central High School.
My name is Keelan Dimmick, and I'm just finishing up my teaching here at Lawrence Central.
One, two, three, four.
We've been rehearsing for a concert we have tomorrow, Wednesday night, and we're working on some Cuban music, which I think was picked because I'm from Miami, so I think the director was like throwing me a bone there. I got started playing piano when I was only about 3 years old. I'd sit on the piano and kind of pick out the notes. You know, after a while of doing that, I started experimenting with writing my own songs, actually, maybe when I was like six or seven, with simple bass lines. So I grew up in a small town in Iowa called Fairfield, where everyone meditates twice a day in what are called the domes. And it was just what you did, and I still practice it twice a day. 20 minutes a day. It's a mantra-based meditation, so you have a given mantra when you learn, and you have the intention of saying that mantra. And then that mantra acts as a vehicle for your awareness to transcend to subtler states of consciousness, and it basically then you come out of that after 20 minutes, and you're much more rested and much more clear, and basically stresses just become obsolete. It's a really cool experience the first couple times you meditate.
It also sounds very much like a jazz jam. When you're on stage with a jazz ensemble, you kind of come in and out of it.
Yeah, you could draw a parallel to that. That would be more of, well, yeah, because, you know, in TM it's more powerful to meditate in groups. So in the same way, it's, you know, you get a stronger effect musically when you're with people than if you're by yourself. So in that way, yeah, it is similar. The thing with TM that's different from other differentiates it from other meditations is that there's no focus. There's no forcing of the mind. That defeats the whole purpose of meditating, which is to come out feeling better, you know. So that's the big difference. So when people say, you know, meditation, you meditate, it's TM that I do. You know, I don't do... Oh, what's going on here?
What do you think of the school song?
I think it's great. It's getting me motivated. It reminds me of my school's fight song. Centennial High School's... Yeah, I don't remember it, obviously. Weird being back in the high school.
Oh, I bet.
I have to say it.
Your high school was probably smaller than this, wasn't it?
Well, it was a little bit, but I went for the first 2 years, it was like a big factory school like this. And then, I went to a private art school for the last 2 years, and that was much better for me. I've been gaining the experience of teaching this age group, which I don't always get. You know, I'm usually teaching college students or adults even in Miami. So it's fun to work with this age group and also a lot of kids all at once. I'm usually one-on-one, you know, in just my regular teaching in Miami. So it's been fun just getting to figure out how to be efficient with a group rather than just one. It's funny, yesterday I came in pretty cold and my performance was pretty bad, I thought. And then the lecture, I didn't have too many things to say. And then today it was like I was warmed up and I feel like I really gave them as much as I could. And I think they responded a lot better because of that.
My name is Morgan Murph. I'm in 10th grade at Lawrence Central. My mom put me in lessons in second grade, and kind of from there in fourth grade, I kind of discovered Stevie Wonder, and jazz kind of became the thing for me.
Right. And then your left hand, remember the shell voicings we were talking about? So
yeah.
She's got great rhythm, and she's got a great natural ability to hear things and play dynamically, but again, just the fundamental stuff, the technical stuff, she doesn't really have. So I was trying to get her to just go back to square one and figure out, you know, this is the third and seventh of the chord, just play that.
That's what I was like thinking about the whole time. I missed it.
Yeah, that's really just a big walk down, right?
It's been amazing. I've learned a lot, like so much. I've learned different voicings. I really like to comp, like when people are soloing, so learning different voicings and learning how to play different types of chords and different types of sounds.
I'm John Magus. I'm a senior here at Lawrence Central. I solo for a couple of the pieces, so being able to hear the chord changes and being able to just listen to like what kind of like feeling he's putting into the piano allows me to think of like what I can do to complement that, and like it's like a conversation back and forth with what we're playing.
Why is it important for someone like you to come and work with these high school students at this age and at this stage in their music practice?
Well, this is when habits are being formed, and I think if I can put them, at least just push them in the right direction, then they'll go off and do their own thing, but they'll be informed a little bit. I think if you get them when they're in college already, things have already been set in stone, and it's harder to reverse some misguided habits.
Jay Young, I'm the director of jazz studies at Lawrence Central. Working with somebody like Keelan brings excitement to them and a level that they didn't know about before they were exposed to it.
So it's really just whenever I can input something, I just do. It's not really a like we're hitting the same thing over and over again. It's very just whatever I can do to help, I'm just doing it. Because I only have a couple days.
Each week, we take a behind-the-scenes look at a local DIY, or do-it-yourself artist, who is making it. This week, WFYI's Melissa Davis introduces us to a small studio-featured singer-songwriter whose musical message is all about love.
Hello, loves. My name is Allison Victoria, and I am making music with love.
Why is music your preferred medium?
Music is my preferred medium simply because it allows me to connect with other people through sound and connect people who genuinely are maybe a little intimidated through conversation. It allows me to speak to more than one person at a time through my heart and soul. And just like I said, just more than having a conversation, it adds the sounds of something that I compose. It's coming straight from my soul. So it's just a beautiful thing. Whatever you're searching for, you won't find it here. But darling, me shone and keeps pulling me back into your atmosphere. I'm really good at mistakes. All the marks I've left on the page, they seem to never want to disappear. How does place factor into my art? Like where I live, I feel as if right now, a lot of people have told me that Indianapolis is not the place for me. And I strongly disagree. I believe that where there is a lack of, you should create it. So wherever I am, I just try and take advantage. And it all fuels the lyrics, the vibe, the message. It all fuels it. So where there's a lack of, like in Indianapolis, there's a lack of love for the city. They feel like there's nothing here. And I feel like with music, I'm able to, you know, give them a little something to do and give them something to come out and see in Indy.
Oh, darling, I just won't hate to leave a message for you. The world is broken and not quite ready, but neither am I. I'm broken inside, but I still try to build for you.
I actually didn't start playing the guitar until literally 2016. I had picked it up, literally only picked it up, maybe like a year before that, and I couldn't get the chords. I couldn't do anything, and I literally just was playing around with it. My brother had a old guitar that I kind of just took, and I was like, hey, let me use that, see what I could do. Got nothing. A year later, I met a guitarist that genuinely two open mics in, and we took off and started performing and stuff, and I started watching him a little more. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to pick it up again. I'm going to try. So I picked up the guitar, and I just started building sounds, and that first song that I built was Beneath the Dust, and I was like, whoa, yeah, I'm writing to that.
So whether you're a king or a queen, I hope you recognize if someone tries to play you like they string, you've got to look deeper, love. There's beauty beneath the dust. You've got to look deeper, love.
As I got older, I'm like, you know what? Like, once I got that gift, I was like, you know, I'm going to try. And I built some stuff because now I have this urge to get this message out and this vibe. And what better way to create it than to try myself? So I picked that up in March of 2016, and I've been rolling ever since.
It's so easy to lose all the meaning of who you are. What is your definition of a true superstar? Is it beauty? Is it money?
What keeps me going with my art is genuinely the look on people's faces and the responses that I get when I see that my message has been received, or if I see that I'm in a place where the message needs to be received. I've been in a lot of situations where I've been almost about to like crack or not be able to get through the song due to my anxiety, and I'll look at someone and see they're listening. So I have to finish and I have to get this message out. And it's usually a small face, a young person that really does it for me. And I'm like, man, they got to hear this the right way, fully. And it makes me give my all. My influences would definitely have to be Lauryn Hill.
Yo, we about to check.
Lauryn Hill, Etta James, Beyonce. Oh, Alicia Keys, absolutely. Pretty much every artist that has been unapologetic. And that is exactly what Etta James, Lauryn Hill, they embody that strong, like, this is me, and take it or leave it. So that's kind of like what inspires me the most. What the city can do to support their artists is support, support, support. I am only here right now through word of mouth. I have nothing recorded. Everything is, I have a few features that I'm on, but everything is word of mouth. And if everyone talked about, you know, the art that they see, the people that they see, all it takes is talking about it, spreading a word, hitting share, seeing that there is support. We'll keep artists here, because that's exactly what I've gotten in the past 2 years. I've gotten nothing but support, literally through word of mouth, and it's all through the grapevine. So just being that person to share the music, to spread the love, and that's inspiring. And I feel like I hear that a lot from artists, them just the lack of support from, they feel like, the community. But getting the community outside of the art community to support and love music and care about it, that would be something to keep it for sure.
Just ahead on Curious Mix, nature.
Hey, those turtles are on their way to some fun times, and we stopped them.
And nurture.
Queen is basically just empowering Black women, inspiring and empowering and encouraging Black women.
I'm Jill Dittmeyer, and this is Curious Mix. I'm Jill Dittmeyer, and you're listening to Curious Mix. The Indianapolis-based People for Urban Progress, or PUP, organization specializes in upcycling unusual yet familiar items. One of its first projects turned parts of the old Hoosier Dome into carry-all bags and purses. The group's latest effort could be considered a bit off the rails. Curious Mix contributor Sandy Robe explains.
The sounds of high-speed trains may never tire for business commuters, but what does get old over time are the train's interiors. When Amtrak updated its Acela Express line that runs along the Northeast Corridor between Washington, D.C. and Boston, it decided to put its well-traveled seats on a new track. Instead of hauling them to the trash, it formed a collaboration about sustainability with a nonprofit called PUP.
I'm Andrea Cowley. I'm the executive director at People for Urban Progress. PUP's all about making reuse, like, beautiful. And I think that's what really kind of drew them to what our work is because, you know, reuse should be well-designed and we should be able to incorporate it into our daily lives.
Amtrak donated the backs and bottoms of 6,000 blue leather seat covers to PUP and asked them to turn them into bags.
We're going to divert over 12,000 pieces of leather from landfills, and it kind of reaches both of our goals of reusing materials and thinking about, you know, the materials surrounding us in cities and what we're going to do with them as they age.
PUP is repurposing the material into high-end adventure-ready products that include a backpack, tote bag, and dop kit. Over the course of a year, it will roll out around 2,500 bags in small batch releases. Resource manager Jason Chisholm handles the first steps of the process once the giant pile of raw materials arrive at PUP.
Well, they go to Delaware, get taken apart there, then shipped to Atlanta where they're getting further taken apart, up to a recycling facility here in Indianapolis, and then to me. These seats here have come in from all those other stops. They get really dusty, and there is a layer of foam on the inside we have to remove before we get dry cleaned. So we had Mark here removing foam. It's easy work. It's just really time-consuming, tedious.
After the leather is cleaned, it's cut into the shapes that are needed for the stitchers to sew them into bags. But long before the sewing machines touched the material, lead designer Amy Beamer had to figure out exactly how to turn the seats into usable bags.
Basically took the raw seats and tried to envision them in just like a puzzle, you know, how to puzzle those pieces back together into something usable in a different form.
From there, Jessica Bricker, director of design and fabrication, started processing the leather for production.
You know, we have all these seat pieces that need to be kind of cut down and, like, figured out what we could do with these smaller pieces. The patterns also have to, like, show a diagram of the seat so we know exactly where we're cutting it. So we basically have to cut that same piece from the same spot on each seat.
PUP has 7 licenses from Amtrak to carry different products. It plans to release new handmade surprises throughout the collaboration's journey. All of the items aim to invoke a sense of adventure among commuters and unite those who appreciate the art of reuse. For Curious Mix, I'm Sandy Rowe.
Sometimes the best way to tackle a challenging subject is to create a lighthearted atmosphere. Such was the case for a serious presentation on endangered species, where guests of all ages were invited to step right up into a circus of information. Curious Mix contributor Bob Williams was there.
Boys and girls, is Bloomington, Indiana's Professor Animalia, a.k.a. Joe Lee, former Ringling Brothers Circus clown and illustrator. He and his wife, Bess, an art teacher, with aegis from Jim Poyser of Earth Charter, Indiana, have embarked on a mission conveying a serious-as-death message without beating one over the head with it. The message? The state of endangered and close-to-extinct species. Their medium? A circus sideshow barker, along with about a dozen beautifully handmade circus posters. Joe says the beginnings of this crusade started quite a long time ago when he was a circus clown.
I was graduated from Ringling Brothers Clown College and worked for Ringling for a while when they had a theme park. But then I went on the road with several other tent shows, King Brothers Cold Circus and Hoxie Brothers Circus, and they had sideshows. And I got to know the sideshow talkers, the guys who would stand out on what they call the ballet platform, and they would do their spiel to get people to come into the sideshow to see the amazing wonders there.
Professor Animalia's imperiled species posters show endangered animals in dangerous situations, from elephants to monarch butterflies to tigers, cockapoos, Indiana bats, and even...
As children, we loved box turtles. We saw them on the road, we saw them on the ground, and we picked them up. We took them home. We released them, but by doing that, we disrupt their reproductive cycle. Hey, those turtles are on their way to some fun times. And we stopped them. The giraffe. Who can imagine somebody big game hunting a giraffe? But it happens.
Joe's relationship with one particular member of our largest land mammal species furthered his cause.
My first season on the circus, I lived in what was not euphemistically called the pony truck, because I had a sleeper with three other clowns, and we were stacked like the Three Stooges. And on a, behind the thin plywood wall were 11 ponies, two llamas, and a baby elephant. I actually had the glorious experience of having an elephant named Ola fall in love with me. And but
that's what the elephant trainer said, yeah, that she deeply loved him.
But just to be around this magnificent, incredible creature, day in and day out, to be able to touch them and talk to them and to think about they're on the cusp of not being here.
While there's concern, they both express the hope that we as a species will finally get it. And though it may start with adults, it will be fulfilled with the starts of young people.
My name is Himiko Ogawa, and I'm 14 years old.
And your name and how old are you?
My name is Hikari Ogawa, and I am 12 years old.
And what did you think about the artwork?
It screams very, this is what's happening, you should know about it.
What? How did it impact you?
Well, I've known about endangered animals, but the way where he, like, formatted it into kind of like a carnival kind of advertisement was very, or that was metaphorical for the way that some people just don't quite take it seriously, or that's how I perceived it anyway.
And it is kind of deadly serious fun.
It really is. Like, we need pollinators and animals for the ecosystem.
So, what do you do with this information?
We like to tell people about global warming and how it affects things and what we can do to stop it and what it has effects on. You know, we have to be educated and we have to know what we're talking about, and then we have to, you know, plan on what to do and then put it into action.
For Curious Mix, this is Bob Williams.
An Indianapolis neo-jazz artist is celebrating black women in her music. Curious Mix contributor Kyle Long takes us into the studio of Kiana Whatley.
Kiana, thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
You have an amazing new song out titled Queen. Tell me about this track.
Queen is basically just empowering black women, inspiring and empowering and encouraging black women.
And you released a remix to the song Queen, which features a lot of great local MCs. Tell me about some of the women in this song.
Yes, the Queen remix features Allison Victoria, Sid Blaine, and Manon Voice.
Black woman, black queen, you're beautiful. Y'all thought we was done. Nah, we ain't done. Queen, you're beautiful. And I brought a few of my sisters to help me represent all the queens around the world. So black woman, this is for you. This right here is the Queen remix. Ladies, put your hands up.
Staring at my reflection, in love with my complexion. Ain't worried about who don't like it, we conquering that oppression. Natural hair is my preference, it's a form of self-expression. Bump your professional standards.
And you told me you kind of categorize yourself as a neo-jazz artist.
Absolutely.
Give our listeners a quick sense of what that means.
Absolutely. So neo-jazz is basically neo-soul and jazz mixed together, kind of combined. So, yeah.
And you picked out 5 songs that have influenced your kind of direction of music, right?
Oh, my goodness.
Right?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Let's jump into this. What's your first song, Kiana?
My first song is Marvin Gaye, What's Going On.
Yeah. What does that track mean to you?
Oh, my God. That track is basically how I view the world. What's going on out here? Tell me what's going on. Yeah. By Marvin Gaye.
Mother, there's too many of you crying. Brother, 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 there's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today. Hey, Father, Father, we don't need to escalate. You see, war is not the answer, for only love.
And your second pick?
My second pick is Everyday People by Arrested Development.
Was this an influential group for you?
It really was, yes. I just love like the African sound with the hip-hop feel that they have going on. Absolutely.
Yeah, I remember when they came out, they were really exciting.
Yeah.
Because they were blending soul and, like you said,
everything
this kind of pan-Africanism with
goodness.
Hip-hop in a way that was really fresh.
Yes.
Yeah, great track.
Oh.
Selection.
Third selection is Erykah Badu, Bag Lady. My goodness.
What does Erykah Badu's music mean to you?
Erykah Badu music, she is like a great influence to me. And just with this song, Bag Lady, it's just letting go of things that you can't control. Pack light. So, yeah.
One day, all them
And your fourth pick, Kiana?
Is Indy Ivory. Oh, my God, I love her. Video. I'm not the average girl on your video. You know, don't put me in a box. Don't label me. Accept me for who I am and how I am.
Sometimes I shave my legs and sometimes I don't. Sometimes I comb my hair and sometimes I won't. Depending on how the wind blows, I might even paint my toes. It really just depends on whatever feels good in my soul.
Your fifth and final pick for us today.
Oh my God, it's TLC, Waterfalls. Don't go chasing waterfalls. Listen to the rivers and the lakes that you are used to, meaning listen to your spirit and know where you're supposed to be and who you're supposed to be.
Essentially, your recording career is just starting. You released your first project in 2015.
Yes.
And there's lots more great things to come, I'm
Absolutely.
Sure. Folks can keep up with all your music online at KianaWatley.com.
That is correct.
Yeah. Anywhere else they can follow you?
Absolutely. If they want to stream any music, it would be under Keke Songbird. That is K-E-K-E Songbird.
Thank you so much for sharing these five songs, and thank you so much for creating this amazing music.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Does a poem inspire a visual artist? Like this. Here's Curious Mix contributor Terry Border.
This poem is by Catherine Hoth, and it's kind of an educational poem as far as talking about words. It's called Eating Words. When you know that vor means eat, you will know that insectivores feed on grasshoppers, moths, and butterflies, mosquitoes, bees, and plain old flies. When you know that carne means meat, you will know that carnivores eat snakes and lizards, deer and lamb, carrion, birds, fish, and ham. When you know that herb means plant, you will know that herbivores can't eat anything that moves on a foot, just foods that spring up from a root. When you know that omni means all, you will know that omnivores call everything they can suck or chew, sometimes even me or you, food.
Ooh, I like that. I didn't realize that vor meant to eat.
Well,
so now I'm thinking
either.
About all those other words that we could put in front of you.
Yes, yes. And I didn't rhyme. They said foot and root rhyme. I have a hard time with that kind of thing. I feel very self-conscious if I would say foot and root. But I really enjoy, it's very educational and fun to read, too.
Foot and root. Foot and rut.
I can't do it.
It's a Hoosierism. You'd be a Hoosier for.
Yes, if I pretend like I'm my grandfather from Terre Haute, I think I could have pulled it off. Or Terry Hutt, as he would say.
That's Terry Border. You'll be back again next week with another tasty poem or two. Still to come on Curious Mix. Eat their food.
It should take you right back, especially to the beaches or the shores.
Walk in their shoes.
It's not just adults sitting around making a play about children. It's children actually putting their experiences into this play.
I'm Jill Dittmeyer, and you're listening to Curious Mix.
I'm Jill Dittmeyer, and this is Curious Mix. The Young Actors Theater has empowered Indianapolis youth for over 40 years. The kids at YAT don't just perform plays, they create them, from discussing the concept to writing the script to the performance itself. One of their recent productions, called Like and Subscribe, centers on themes of bullying in the digital age. Curious Mix contributor Chris Siegel takes us to rehearsal.
I wish it would stop. There's a bully at my school. She's mean to me, and I don't like it.
My name's Nettle. I'm 13 years old, and I've been doing YAT for 6 years. I play Mia, and she was a very lonely girl, and then she got the chance to be popular, and she had all this power, but she didn't use it for good.
My name's Lucy. I'm 13, and I've been doing YAT for 7 years. My character, Sarah, draws on her friend's campaign poster, and then another person comes by and tries to fix it. And Mia Washington, who's trying to, like, start a YouTube channel.
Welcome to day 76 of my life, the school halls. What do these halls scream to you? Loneliness? Anxiety?
Ends up catching him on film, coloring on the poster. The video goes viral. Everybody thinks that Sam colored on the poster. And so basically, everybody starts bullying him.
Squad number one,
no eye contact!
Squad number two,
block him from all accounts!
Squad number three,
his name shall not be spoken!
We did exercisings in class, like planned improvs, where we would develop scenes and we would have discussions about like what might be relevant to the play. What are the social medias you use the most? What do you use them for? What are the negative outcomes of social media? What are the positive, you know? And we spent all this time putting real life stories into this play. And so continually on and on, we built this script and we built the play that it turned out to be.
It's not just adults sitting around making a play about children. It's children actually putting their experiences into this play. And the thing that, like, makes this so special and makes it the most relatable is because it's actually the ages we're acting. Like, those are the ages that are writing this script.
For a long time, I disliked this character that I played so much. And I'm like, she's such a horrible person. Why would I want to be her? But then, you know, I started to learn more about her backstory, and she is a person too, you know, and I just have to think about that and why she's doing these things, and that really helps me be able to play this character. Sam writes a letter to Alex, like an apology letter, and I make it up, and I say,
Dear Alex, I'm sorry. It's not what it looks like. I'm obsessively and undeniably in love with you. I'll hate you every single day until you love me back.
I love that so much.
Has your sort of definition of bullying gotten bigger?
I've been bullied a lot before because of, like, my age. I'm a lot younger than everybody else, and I'm a very easy target, and it's, like, making me become aware of how much worse it can get and how not lucky I am, because obviously nobody deserves to be bullied, but how, like, worse it can be for kids and how, like, it causes them to change schools, to have depression and stuff like that.
I used to honestly think that bullying was not a big deal, and I thought people over-exaggerated it way too much. And so I think, you know, I was like, oh, wow, this could happen. It's feasible, you know? This could actually happen to someone. And so I think it really taught me to just think, you know, since just because it's never happened to me doesn't mean it doesn't happen to other people.
When people think of, like, a kid's play, like, because we are kids. We're, like, eighth grade and younger. We're, like, they don't think they put in much effort. They think, oh, they buy a script online. They give it to the kids memorize their lines, and they don't really think about, like, the reactions that they have to do with their characters, all the things that goes into like the depth of like what we're doing, and I just want people to like appreciate and like see that these kids worked really hard. This isn't just kids saying stuff, waiting around for their line. These are characters, and these kids believe they're in a world.
Signing off. But before you go, make sure to like, comment, and subscribe.
For Curious Mix, I'm Chris Siegel.
It's time to perk up our palates with a little help from Yelp, the online community of ordinary eaters who know the tastiest places to go, especially when it comes to ethnic eats. Fans of authentic Jamaican food will want to spend time in the Blue Lagoon.
My name is Graham Levy. I am the owner of the Blue Lagoon. Today, we will be preparing the escovitch fish. We'll be using a sway filet, which is a mild white fish, and we will be frying that and then drizzling it with the escovitch sauce, which is a vinegar-based sauce with pickled vegetables such as onion, carrots, bell peppers. It's got a little bit of the scotch bonnet kick. So the sauce in general is going to have four different things happening all at the same time. It's going to be a little bit sweet, a little bit tangy from the vinegar. It's going to be a little bit spicy from the scotch bonnet sauce, and definitely flavorful. The escovitch, I would recommend it with rice and beans, or in Jamaica we call it rice and peas. It should take you right back, especially to the beaches or the shores. And if you've never been there, it should definitely give you a good insight as to what it's going to be like.
The Blue Lagoon is located at 11705 Pendleton Pike in Indianapolis. Art and culture are one in the same in Mark Nelson's classroom. The high school educator uses both to help his students cope with the daily onslaught of disturbing news from around the world. Curious Mix contributor Joy Hernandez shares his story.
And then like this, and then like...
We're doing a project called Celebrate People's History Poster Project.
Maybe it'll stop.
Lucy Stone was the first woman to graduate from college in Massachusetts, and she was also the first woman to keep her maiden name when she got married.
Well, I'm doing Amelia Earhart's first flight around the Atlantic to Ireland. She's the first woman to do it.
And basically the idea was to tell the untold stories of African Americans, women, Native Americans, Hispanic Americans, LGBTQ Americans, a lot of minority people whose maybe stories are not told traditionally in history books.
I found the person.
You found the person?
Well, I don't know what to do now.
Do a little summary about it.
Mark Nelson doesn't just teach the fundamentals of art to his eighth grade class in Central Junior High.
We talk a lot about value and tone and perspective, and just so the elements of art are in there. But that's the thing I want to show my students. The elements of art are a tool. The elements of art are the way to create art, but art is also about things.
Things in this class range from history to social studies to societal awareness and current events, even if those current events can weigh heavy for adolescents.
They're going through stories and finding like the Matthew Shepard murder, or they're finding like the tear gas at the border. They're finding stories that hit them and that they want to tell, and then they're creating posters about that, and then we're going to display these posters on the internet and also around town.
Around town is Kewaunee, Illinois, a small farming city with a population of about 13,000, about 2 hours west of Chicago. In this class, when asked if they had living relatives in other countries, about three-quarters of the students raised their hands, proudly listing their countries of origin.
We have kids who come right from Mexico City to Kewaunee, and they don't know a word of English, and they have to adjust. And they see the warmth of our Kewaunee students.
It only seemed natural to Nelson for his students to tackle the sometimes horrifying headlines many are already acutely aware of, channeling their reactions through their art.
And I wanted to show my kids this was happening now. And I feel like as an educator, we can't let these walls be the limit of our kids' knowledge. We need to let them know what's happening.
My grandpa was a refugee from Northern Ireland, and he fled violence in Northern Ireland to come to America.
Nelson grew up hearing the stories of conflict from his grandfather and developed an early interest in the human cost of the destruction of war.
In about 2016, I started seeing the flood of images coming in from the Syrian conflict. And in my brain, I couldn't just look at the photos and scroll by. I had to process them. And as an artist, I process things by drawing them.
Nelson knew that his students were aware of oppression and conflict in the world, and he wanted to teach them to process their own reactions and emotions through their own art, to strengthen their own voices, and to help give a voice to others.
Art is not just about line and color. Artists don't create out of a vacuum. They're inspired by literature, they're inspired by history, they're inspired by human suffering, stories, they're inspired by joy, travel. So I want to show them that in art. And in this situation, those two little girls were inspired by kind of the memories of joy they used to have.
Their names are Noor and Ala.
The class has connected with a pair of Syrian refugees now in Turkey. Through the internet, they've learned about each other's lives. Miracle Sharo has maintained a close pen pal relationship with Noor and Ala.
It's kind of like inspiring because they have a whole different story than us. And I just think that if they have friends across like the country, they have friends from everywhere, that it would help them and it would help everybody else in Syria get peace where they are.
When Nelson's class first met Noor and Ala, the girls were still hiding out in Syria in constant fear and danger.
And the thing I showed them is that even though they were living in such horrendous circumstances, they were still creating. They actually made their own little art show in their burned out apartment. They actually put up artwork. They managed to get crayons, and just the spirit and determination of creation was inspiring for my kids. And my kids started to realize, we are really fortunate. We go to a nice, warm, safe school, and we get to learn. And these girls, all they want to do is go to school. But their school was blown up.
The students wanted to help their friends, and Sharo says they decided to use their talents and class time to do what they could.
One day we were just talking to the girls, and we were like, what if we help them get out by a film? Because if everybody sees the film, then they'll be like, oh, well, these girls need to get out because they know their story. It was all about their story. So then when the film got out, everybody was watching it. It was going everywhere.
The film, narrated by Sharo, features stop-action animation, little clay figurines and paper sets, showing the strife in Ghouta, Syria, through the points of view of Noor and Ala.
Bombs and rockets are like rain over our heads, and the world is silent. Stop this madness. We don't want to die. Every night, the bombing gets closer and closer. Ala is injured. Our house is gone. Our memories are on fire. Our dreams are burning away. For God's sake, help us! We have spent the last 5 days without food, hiding in this underground cellar, listening to the bombs, waiting to die. Please, my friends, help us before it is too late.
The students feel for their friends, and their passion and understanding propel their video. They fully empathize with the Syrian children, and it also shows through other art projects around the classroom. One large painting, created by the group, shows their Syrian friends standing as children in front of their adult future selves in their hopeful occupations, doctors, aid workers, and journalists.
They're more like you than not. And I think that's one of the things we need to do as educators, is to kind of destroy racism, destroy Islamophobia, destroy other horrible things like that. We need to show these kids that the other is actually more similar to them than they think.
Despite the hopelessness and anguish of the situation in Syria, of the imagery and stories from the conflict, these students are undeterred and hopeful about the future.
I hope for that Syria actually has a lot of peace and that everybody doesn't get killed or trapped or anything. And I hope that one of our other friends, Mohammed, gets out because he's also trapped in there right now. And I hope that the government just gets on our side and stops bombing them and everything and gassing them.
And Miracle Sharo already has plans for her own future, carrying this work with her.
I might want to like join a foundation or something to donate money to help Syria. If it's not like done by then, but hopefully it is.
For Curious Mix, I'm Joy Hernandez.
B
Brandon Meeks composed and performs our music. And this Curious Mix was created by
Chris Siegel,
Sandy Rowe,
Melissa Davis,
Kyle Long,
Joy Hernandez,
Matt Pelser,
Bob Williams,
Terry Border,
Roxana Caldwell,
Sarah Neil Estes,
and me, Jill Dittmeyer. We'll be back again next week with more Curious Mix.